This is the story of a man and a ship. Millions of people across the world have, for the past 100 years, been convinced that they know the story of the Titanic. On its maiden voyage from Southampton to New York, it hit an iceberg and sank with horrific loss of life. However, if you were to ask how a magnificent liner, built regardless of expense and owned by a prestigious British shipping company, could come to such a catastrophic end, comparatively few will be able to answer. My great-uncle, Charles Herbert Lightoller, was the most senior surviving officer of the tragedy. As the second officer on the doomed liner, after the sinking, he found himself thrust into the spotlight of 2 official inquiries, one in the US and one in Britain. At neither of these did he acquit himself well. Yet, neither he nor any of the senior officers who were lost were in any way censured for what had befallen the ship that many considered unsinkable. Although as a young boy I met Commander Lightoller on several occasions, I recall no talk amongst the family of the Titanic or of my great-uncle's involvement in the sinking. Perhaps everyone felt that he should be allowed to forget the terrible event. But how could he forget such a traumatic experience? The world certainly didn't want to forget it either. Countless books, films, and television programs have endlessly regurgitated the events of that dreadful night. When I was approached to write a book about the great ship and the great man, I felt somewhat overawed by the seemingly inexhaustible wealth of material already covering the subject. Except that most of this coverage concerned the planning, building, launching, and sinking of the ship, and not that much had anything to do with Second Officer Lightoller. Of course, there was my great-uncle's autobiography, Titanic and Other Ships, which seemed to be mainly a catalogue of those other ships, and also contained one or more glaring inaccuracies. Also, Patrick Stenson had written Lights, The Odyssey of C.H. Lightoller, a fascinating account of my great-uncle's adventurous life. But on the whole, writers and researchers seem focused on the actual sinking, rather than how Lightoller managed to survive the disaster when other senior officers did not. Also, very few comment on his extraordinary behaviour at the official investigations immediately after the disaster. As I began my search for anything that would reveal more about my great-uncle and his life before, during, and after the loss of the great ship, childhood memories began to emerge from the dim recesses of my mind. There were fragments of conversations with my maternal grandmother, Lightoller's sister, my mother and her father, a man overshadowed by scandal and secrecy, but with a revealing link to one of the Titanic's lasting mysteries. One of the difficulties facing any serious student of the Titanic tragedy is not only the mass of information available, but within it the vast amount of conflicting testimony from survivors, amplified and embellished down the generations. Add to these the exaggerated and often inaccurate reports in the contemporary press, and I trust that readers of this book will appreciate the daunting task that faced me of sifting the truth from the merely fanciful. There can be no doubt that Charles Herbert Lightoller was an extraordinary man. He was tough, he was brave, and he appeared to take storm, shipwreck, and official inquiries in his stride. However, in seeking to answer some of the unanswered questions about the Titanic and her loss, I found myself uncovering family secrets and scandals that both directly and indirectly influenced my opinion about the most famous of all maritime losses. I must hasten to point out that any conclusions I appear to reach about my great-uncle's conduct during and after the sinking together with ideas formed regarding the behaviour of the owners and officials of the Titanic, are based solely on my personal researches, together with memories recalled from childhood.